You're in tune with WNCW's What It Is. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin and Jeff Eason in our own Studio B, talking about vocalists who are an acquired taste. A lot of examples of famous artists whose vocal styles didn't quite come off all that well, maybe not at first, but you grew to love them. One current example, I think, is Frazee Ford, formerly of Be Good Tanya's, and we've been spinning her new solo release, Obadiah, a good bit. I love it. I think her voice is extremely captivating. A lot of other folks might not quite get it right away.
Really, I love her voice. I really, you know, find it very unique and very refreshing. And some of the techniques that she uses where she creates her own backing vocals with herself and uses different kind of timbres and different uses of her voice are amazing to me.
I think there's a long history in folk music of women who have a lot to say and had different voices. I think Peggy Seeger is someone with a really distinctive voice, and I think it was an acquired taste, and once you really start listening to her, you love it. Joni Mitchell, the whole folk revival crowd, you know, and then there are ballad singers. That's an acquired taste, too, that you really have to listen to and get used to listening in, but it's not mainstream singing.
I think that's one of the most subjective things about music is a person's voice. I mean, I love Neil Young, but I could understand why somebody might not like Neil Young's voice because it is a little bit not a perfect, true on-pitch type of voice, you know, but his songwriting and the way he sings is really appealing to me.
There are whole styles of singing that a lot of folks just can't quite get along with. Like, I don't know what you would describe if Mark Olson has... It fits into any one category, but something in the line of, say, a Stamey or a Holsapple, you know, of the DBs, and there's that he, I would put them in the same class of a certain way that they sing.
And Tom Waits is another one who has a very stylized way of singing. It's sort of a gruff barroom type of growl, and whereas I love it, I could see where some people wouldn't.
I think really distinctive voices go in and out of fashion too. The Billie Holiday's kind of wax and wane. You know, I think Norah Jones brought back that kind of husky popularity sound. Shannon Whitworth definitely has that. And I think that's growing in popularity. And it might just be because they're so good. Who knows? There's Galen of Jubal's Kin. I don't know if you're familiar with a new group from Florida that is real popular in the old time scene. They started out with real hardcore traditional, but are just doing spectacular. I think they'll be the Nickel Creek of old time music, possibly. They're doing a lot of really progressive singer-songwriter stuff and unique arrangements. But she has a really different voice, too, and yet it's really beautiful. You start listening, and then you have to listen more.
I think a lot of it is the mood you're in that particular moment. I mean, there's some times that I really enjoy listening to Lucinda Williams, and there's times when her kind of languid nasal tone just gets on my last nerve.
I can kind of see where you're coming there from Lucinda. I think maybe in that same category for me would be a group like Innocence Mission. And sometimes I can really get with that sort of style. And we've played their music over the years. They've got a record in within the past year, I think, that we played pretty much. And Innocence Mission, I remember, especially back in the years when I was in retail and I would make mixtapes to play during the long days of listening to just whatever I'd, you know, on the radio or whatnot, I would try to slip in the mixtape. And the one complaint I got was when the Innocence Mission was on the tape.
I think what we think is good is really shaped a little bit by popular songs, too, because one of the most famous people in country music was Kitty Wells. But if you go back and listen to her, I mean, I love Kitty Wells, but her voice is really distinctive and very, very different from popular music today in terms of being, or country music today is kind of smooth and slick and pretty. And her voice was just real not like that at all. She was great, but it wasn't at all what classic country music is today. So I think a lot of what we think is good personally is probably shaped just by what's around us as popular.
I remember when I was in high school, the one band that seemed to be, there was no middle ground, you either loved them or hate them, was Rush. And a lot of it had to do with the voice of Geddy Lee. I was definitely in the latter camp. You know, I couldn't stand to hear that guy sing. I could appreciate the guitar work that was going on. I could appreciate the song compositions and the drumming and the dynamic rock sound. But once he started singing, I had to tune out.
we lifted this idea from Fred Mills, who's not in the panel today, but I think he would have the same sort of take that you have on Geddy Lee towards a singer like Aaron Neville. Some pretty amusing points of view about Aaron Neville's voice sounding like a cat singing while it's riding down a bumpy road. And there are a lot of singers like that that just have that sort of odd quality. Jebloy Nichols.
Oh, yeah. Love him.
It is in that category. I find his voice very satisfying. Folks like Calvin Johnson, maybe not quite as well known for the WNCW daytime audience, but going back to his days in Beat Happening and that incredibly low register, a little bit like something like the guy from Crash Test Dummies.
Or Leonard Cohen.
Who
I know a lot of people who love his voice, but sometimes it's almost disturbing it's so low.
Well, and then there's people like Donovan. His singing's a little different. Remember Donovan? And mm-hmm. Of course, then there's the people who were weird for a living, who did Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Oh, that was Tiny Tim.
Yeah, Tiny Tim. Yeah, I mean, he made a living out of weird singing.
Out of that strange, warbly falsetto
falsetto.
He had.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And speaking of bands that we like, Roxy Music, they're... Yeah. Brian Ferry.
Yeah.
He's got sort of a warble to his voice that I know some people cannot stand. And I find it just like the ultimate crooner voice.
I've been listening to Red June lately, and I really love John Cloyd Miller's voice. Has a really distinctive sound. You know who it is when you hear it. It's very warm and actually not very bluegrass. It's very Americana folkish, but you know who it is, and you hear this warm, and yet it's very different from mainstream contemporary music right now.
Now you mentioned Jebloy Nichols. Another one in that sort of same vein is Robbie Foulkes. He's got sort of that twang mm-hmm. that just won't stop. And most of it fits with the style of music that he plays. He'll play those old country George Jones type songs or some hillbilly stuff. But I can see where some people would have a hard time getting over that twang.
What do you think? Email us what it is at wncw.org. Vocalists who are an acquired taste, some artists that you love, or maybe not. For Public Radio, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin and Jeff Eason. Until next time.